Welcome back to Motherload Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. We're joined this weekend by Tuolumne County Clerk and Auditor Controller Debbie Bautista and the Assistant County Clerk Robbie Bergstrom. We've been talking about a number of topics. I want to go back to the issue of voting. And Robbie Bergstrom, I'll pose the first question again on that topic to you. You know, when it comes to the presidential primary, what is kind of the difference? You hear a little bit about crossover voting during that election.
Well, an important thing for people to understand that in the presidential primary, you are not actually voting for president. You are voting for which of your party's candidate will go forward to run for president in the November election. So that means that if you're registered as a Democrat, you'll only have the Democratic candidates on your ballot. If you are registered Republican, the same, you'll only have the Republican candidates. But if you are registered as a no party preference voter, your ballot will be blank. What happens is a few months before every presidential primary election, each party can decide if they're going to allow the no party preference voters to cross over and vote on their ballot. They then would inform our office that they want that party's ballot, and we would send that to them.
And then for clarification, when you go through and see the different parties, sometimes you see American Independent. That's an actual political party. That doesn't mean you're an independent voter like you hear about.
That's correct. That is an often made mistake that people have, that when they see American Independent, they believe that they are choosing to be nonpartisan or no party preference voter. So they will receive a ballot that has all of the American Independent candidates on there.
I'll turn back over to Debbie Bautista. We hear a lot about nationwide about the issue of voter security. Is that something that's being looked at locally as well?
All the time. What people need to understand is that when one registers to vote, one has to give either the last four digits of their Social Security number or their driver's license number. Then all that information is sent through to the state. The state DMV validates that, and then it comes back to us before we can make you an active voter. If one chooses not to do either of those validations, then one, on the very first time they vote, will need to come in and show proof, ID, that they are John Smith or Mary Jones. So that's one way we hear about people just, you know, going and signing up all these people, and they're going to be able to vote, but they can't vote if they don't get validated through the state of California. So that's one. The other portion that we have is what people should understand is that if you vote by mail, every single person has to sign their ballot, and we validate that signature based upon the signature that they have on their voter registration card, which is in our signature, in our system, and we look at every single one of those. If there is a signature missing, we will inform the voter with a letter, normally with the ability to sign and send it back to us. If the signatures don't match, we inform the voter that we don't believe that the signature is their signature, and they have the ability to come into the office and cure their signature by re-signing up or telling us no, that isn't their signature. Every year, we send a few voters, anywhere from one to two to five or six, to the district attorney's office for voter fraud if they vote twice. Almost in every single one of the cases, age is an issue. So what does happen, so people know that we do check things, is that we will get a call from a voter who says, I didn't get my vote by mail ballot, send me a new one. We will suspend their first one, send a second ballot out, but they've really actually have voted. And so the ballot number one comes in, then ballot number two comes in. The system tells us that we have two different ballots. We keep copies of everything. We keep the actual ballots, and we really do turn it over to the district attorney's office. If we truly believe that somebody signed, we've had one case of that, somebody signed somebody else's ballot, we actually do turn that over to the district attorney's office. The envelope that one gets, there's a barcode on that envelope that that identifies that voter so that we can identify the signature. You've heard a lot, or some people are starting to talk about, well, they'll just print ballots and and vote on the ballots and then send them in to us. Ballots are on special paper with a watermark, with coding that not only tells us and the system what precinct they're in, what races are on that ballot. Candidates rotate in some of the races, what the order of the candidates are. One would have to be really very knowledgeable about coding ballots and all of that in order to duplicate a whole lot of ballots and send them into us. If we received a whole lot of ballots that were paper ballots and they weren't military, that would be a really big red flag for us, and we'd be looking at who sent those ballots in or putting them aside. We'd be calling the district attorney, or we'd be calling the secretary of state. We'd probably be calling both of them. There is a lot of checks and balances that we put in to make sure that the correct voters vote and that all the ballots that are valid, we count. And then we also do a 1% manual count. So every single race after the election, we have a team that manually counts that race and to make sure those numbers validate the same numbers that the machines did.
I think it's important to point out, too, in the circumstances that she was mentioning, the ballots weren't counted twice.
No.
They were caught before when we received it. Because with every attempt to vote, we verify someone's identity before we count it. So every circumstance was caught before they were sent to be counted.
Right.
We would pull the second ballot or the first and second ballot. They would not go downstairs to be processed. They would be set aside to, after the election, to turn them over to the district attorney.
It's nice to hear all those protections are in place. Having the paper ballot, is that one of the reasons, not just to go to a computer version so you have that hard evidence that here's what it says?
For me, who's, you know, by trade is an auditor, paper ballots just are your best proof that you can show people how they were. When we have recounts, it really is nice to have the ballots. Everybody can see the markings on the ballots, see what precinct they came from. Paper ballots are, for me, one of the best safeguards that the state of California has.
Well, it's been a good conversation. We've run out of time, but thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you, BJ. Have a great day.
Thank you, BJ.
Both of you, too. We thank Debbie Bautista, the Tuolumne County Clerk and Auditor Controller, and the Assistant County Clerk, Robbie Bergstrom, for being our guest. I'm BJ Hansen. I was your host. See you back next week for more Motherload Views.
You've been listening to Motherload Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherload. Motherload Views has been brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.